Yes, now I was in the state building because that was the White House headquarters. I wasn't functioning in as their agent. I was functioning purely as a White House security agent. And I was in that building.
The State Department?
Yes.
The State Department building?
Yes, that's where the headquarters were. I just want to make clear that it wasn't the State Department making the decisions there.
Why were you there?
Because the President had decided that that was a much better place than the Joint Chiefs. He felt that the Joint Chiefs were committed to military action, and he was getting a terrific amount of pressure from them, of course, to take military action. And he was wise enough and patriotic enough and had sufficient vision so that he wasn't going to do that. So he transferred the whole command and control headquarters of the United States to the State Department. And I may have mentioned this before. What we did was to move in quarters there, where their new auditorium in the State Department was going to come, but it was going to be, but it had not been opened up yet. And that became the command and control headquarters of the United States. I think I may have told you this before. I don't want to.
No, this is new.
The chairman of the Joint Chiefs moved there. And the Security Council agent, either the National Security agent himself or his deputy, moved there, and I was there. Kazin was the direct agent with the President. Kazin was Bundy's deputy, and Bundy was off. I had a mission somewhere. This thing got worse all the time, and so Kazin became the President's voice and agent directly. He was there. He's the one I talked to when the ship turned. So that's how that all happened.
So it was President Kennedy? So President Kennedy asked you to be there then?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Oh, yes. I was assigned there. I was assigned to represent his decisions.
And when the Russian ship turned around, then you heard about that there at that State Department office, and then you did what? You then called the White House, or you went over to the White House?
I went over. They
went over.
That's the other thing. It was rather touching. They didn't trust the communications, and they of course were correct. So Kazin and I and other deputies, if we found one that we could trust, had to run back and forth.
So this was old-fashioned physical
yes.
communication by feet rather than electronic.
That's right.
Okay. So then you took the message to the President that the ship had turned, or back to the White House?
Well, at that point, I took the message, to the President, but I got the message from the Joint Chiefs, of course, that's where the communication center was most active. And I was then in the course of taking the message to the President when it turned out, as you say, that the ship had turned. He had virtually told the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, who was at that same station in the State Department, physically in the State Department, that's all the part of the State Department had. At any rate, he had told them that we were going to launch torpedoes from the submarines, and he had them on the launch level. And so I got over there as fast as I could and said, "They've turned." That's.
What was the President's reaction when he was told that?
Oh, I think he was immensely relieved. I mean, he was terribly worried about the nuclear war, which was almost guaranteed at that stage. And he'd been given all kinds of intensive advice from the Joint Chiefs, which are not a trivial spokes force. That advice was, you've got to bomb these people right away, that they're going to declare nuclear war, and President, you've got to stop it. You've got to bomb their centers and get rid of them. And that's when he and a couple of senators told him the same thing. And so that's when he said, well, he was president of the whole United States, and he wasn't going to do that at that point. Now, he didn't know at that point, of course, that the ships were also going to turn, but that was the position he was taking.
Was the day, from what I've read, that you were at the White House when Kennedy was assassinated. You were there that day.
Yes, yes. Clark Clifford and I were, I'm sure I mentioned this, so stop me if you've heard all you want of it. Clark Clifford and I had gone into the White House mess. There was practically nobody there. Bundy was off on a mission, we said. But there were two or three others that normally might have had lunch in the White House mess. And there wasn't anybody there, but until Clifford and I came in for lunch. And we said hello to the Secret Service fellow who was in charge. He was a nice young chap. And we just passed the time of day that way. And in about 5 minutes or less, he came back looking as though he had seen the most ferocious ghosts. He said, the President's been shot. So then we were left at that point with the responsibility of being sure that the command and control system was alerted, which had been agreed on, of course, some time before. But as I said, Bundy, who normally would have taken care of that, wasn't there, and wasn't anybody there that could do it. So we said, got to be sure the Joint Chiefs know about this, and at the same time we don't preempt any other decisions which are underway, which are important. So at that point they did, they being the Secret Service people who were there, and the ones we had often worked with in the White House, did get, and the Joint Chiefs, of course, had their top people in the State Department space agency anyway, but the ones that they went after were the ones who were still over in the Pentagon, and the Pentagon people had their fingers on the trigger, of course, and so they wanted to get to them very fast, and they did. They finally got there, and we were all so close to it. And it was so intimately arranged that, for goodness sakes, there wasn't any bureaucratic question of whether so-and-so had been checked or so-and-so had checked it off or anything like that. It just went the way it had to go at that stage.
When you finally knew the president was really dead, how did you feel?
How did I feel? Oh, gosh, a great sense of tragedy. Great deal of concern, of course, about Mrs. Kennedy, who was terribly involved, terribly bloodied, and so on. Assuring that the vice president was being guarded and supported, because obviously all our emergency planning had to go forward then. And it did. It did go forward pretty well. The vice president's security surroundings were minimal. Nobody ever thought of protecting the vice president. And they didn't have much machinery. But we were aware of those factors, and of course terribly shocked and saddened.